Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on January 22nd, January 2, 2014. And I have to tell you, I really don't know what to say today because I don't know what's on your mind. For all I know, you're in the middle of the biggest battle of your recruiting career. You made calls all morning and you got nowhere. You made calls all week and you found no one. So you're sitting there listening to me, and right now you're in a pitch, and you can stay there. It's tempting. It's tempting, I know. Or you can fight your way back. You can climb out one call at a time. Now, I can't do that for you. I can barely take care of myself. But, you know, when you get on in life, there's things you realize, and you find out that recruiting is just a game. It's just a contact sport, but the margin for error is very small. If you call 1 minute too late or 1 minute too early, you can't recruit that guy. Either he's not ready or someone else got him. And the only redemption lies in the fact that you can make lots of calls every working day. You can tear yourself apart till you find a call that really works. Because you know, when you add up all those contacts, that's what makes the difference between placement and failure. And I'll tell you this, in any search, it's the guy who's willing to fight who's going to win. If you're going to have success, it's because you're still willing to scratch and claw your way to the people you need. Because if you're a recruiter, that's what living is, putting the phone on the side of your face and dialing that number. Now, I can't do it for you. You got to look in the mirror, look in your own eyes, and ask yourself, if you see a guy who's willing to make that call with you, if you see a guy who's willing to get rejected 1,000 times so in the end he can win, because he knows when it comes down to it, life can't just be wishes. Someone has to make those calls, because that's recruiting, and that's all it is. On Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! You're welcome. No problem. You notice there was no big gap, no pause, no big space between you and me. I laid the beginning of my shout over the ending of your monologue. Did you like that?
I noticed, but I have an admission. I listened to the recording of the show last week, and your shout was fantastic. I was wrong.
See? Okay. I knew I was onto something big last week. I had practiced that 20, 30 times. Okay, and you shot me down, and I'm like, my work, my art, you pissed on it.
I was wrong. At least I'm calling you. I'm telling you, I admit it. I was surprised.
All right,
all
right.
Wrong.
Oh, man, now my head's all messed up. I don't know what way to go next week, but you'll find out next week on the Recruiting Animal Show.
I got a couple of things to talk about before I bring up.
No, hold on.
Before I bring up
the profession that you described in your monologue, I don't want any part of it.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's not me, dude. I'm a professional, dude. I know exactly what's going on. I did not mess up. It's your guy on VoIP calling from Sweden, Scotland, Sri Lanka.
Maybe. We'll see in a minute. Okay, look, I got two things to talk about before we get going.
Okay.
Number one, maybe the guys on the Twitter channel, maybe they just want to use the hashtag recruiting. I don't know why we never thought of that. Maybe somebody did, instead of at animal. I don't know. I can't decide for you. The people seem to have a mind of their own. But, you know, that works too. Just the hashtag recruiting. The problem is now that if we start trying to change it, it'll be all over the place. So you animal crew, you figure it out among yourselves, okay? The other thing is, I don't know if any of you saw it, but HRMarketer.com put out a list of media outlets for recruiting and staffing. That's what they called it, media outlets for recruiting and staffing. And you know who wasn't on that list? The Recruiting Animal Show. Mm. Ask a Manager was there. Recruitment Buzz was there. Talent Culture was there. Fistful of Talent. Drive Through HR. Mashable. Blanchard Leader Chat. HR Bartender. Everything HR was there, but not the Recruiting Animal Show. That's ridiculous. Made me mad. Yeah. Just wanted everybody to know, okay?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You agree with me, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. This is the original, dude.
But it's
the
about
OG.
Recruiting. There's recruiters calling in. They're talking about real jobs, not HR.
See, if you're not part of that content mill, you're out.
Okay, let's move on. Moving on. Are you here? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me, Animal?
Well, you're in and out, but I know Mark warned me that he couldn't get a landline. He lives in the first world. I think Scotland is still part of the first world, but he can't find a landline, so he's on VoIP. As long as it wasn't Skype, I was willing to say, okay, it's a Pandora's box today. We don't know what's coming out, though, I have to tell you, okay?
Okay, where is he again? Where is he? I'm looking on my map here.
Where are you?
I'm actually in Spain today. I had to come across to meet a client. So I'm really struggling to find a landline. I'm back at the hotel right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping I'm plugged into the internet here, and I'm hoping that we can have a conversation.
I think it sounds just fine, and I've been there, stuck in Spain without a landline. You just do what you can.
It reminds me of that Jerome Metternich. One day, he's on the phone with me in the States. He says, no problem, I'll call you. The next day he's called me from Paris on Skype. Worst show ever. Let's move on. I'm sorry. Something. You know what I said to myself when he warned me? I said, something's filshy in the state of Denmark. Right? Okay. So your Twitter name is at Strategy Talent, and your website is strategytalent.com. How many people did you recruit on Twitter last year?
Zero.
Oh,
how
man, you're missing
Facebook?
Out. Missing out.
Yeah.
Shooting fish in a barrel, man.
How many on Facebook? How many did you recruit on Facebook?
Zero.
Oh.
Zero? I don't know
Dude,
if we
must
want
not
you
be catching
again.
On over there. Must not be catching on.
Okay. Before we get into, I just want to ask a few more practical questions before we introduce, you know, what you do, all your background. You don't like marketing candidates. You wrote a long blog post, and you said cold calls are annoying. It's like stopping someone in the street and trying to sell them something. And the worst thing you can do is call someone up and say, "Hi, Mr. Jones, I'm a recruiter. I'm representing a candidate that might be of interest to you, as he or she has XYZ experience." The exact same thing you use in your firm. According to you, that's a terrible thing to do. Am I correct about that, Mr. Phil Shee?
Absolutely. I do stand by that. On the client side, I stand by that. I'm fortunate in many ways that such a niche market I work in, that we do kind of know everyone that's in the market place. Most of the clients, we do know those guys. So there's no real excuse to cold call for someone like me. Perhaps in that blog, I think I should have made that a bit more clearer. I'm not a generalist recruiter. I do recruit very niche candidates.
Yeah, okay, look,
niche market.
You don't have to, you didn't tell me when I asked you if you want to come on. You didn't say, yeah, but I've got a terrible stutter Okay, so don't do it on this show now, okay? You should have warned about
okay.
You said about that before. Just answer the question nice and straight. So, in other words, you wrote that long self-righteous blog posting about how awful it is to market candidates, and you were really just talking about your own little practice. You weren't giving advice to everybody, and you want to take back what you said. Is that correct?
I think when it comes to a generalist recruiter, I do believe perhaps that could be the way forward. But I do, personally, I do
so
believe
you're
that...
you're not standing... I just want to make it clear. I want to make it clear. You're not standing by what you said, even though you made a big announcement that you were. You're not going to stand by that. And even with someone in a big niche like semiconductors, our good friend Jason is a semiconductor
JD.
Engineer... recruiter,
founder of recruitingbugs.com.
Yeah, that's a big field. He'll call people up. What's wrong with that? Hey, who's right on for your company. Don't you want to hear about him? What's wrong with that, Mark? You tell me.
I'll tell you. I get a lot of calls from people trying to sell me services every day, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 calls sometimes a day. People ask if I want to... work with them on an RPO mapping service, X, Y, so many services out there. I never give anyone the time of day. The occasions I have given someone some sort of time and my time has been when they've been introduced to a contact, a previous colleague, and I'll sit down and talk about that. But someone called me out of the blue, I just don't I don't appreciate it.
Okay, we got the point. There's lots of people on the show. Does anybody want to talk to him about that, or should we just move on?
How
anybody
does
want
to
talk
get
to
new
him?
Business then? I do. How does he get new
yeah.
business?
Good
your
question.
What's your spiel when you're going to a new client?
Yeah. For example, just this week, I spoke with a really great candidate, and she was interested in one client in particular. Now, the experience that she had was an operations background. Now, I knew a partner that worked in the same company in an M&A side of the business. I spoke
don't
to that,
talk in a boring way. Hey,
sorry.
You're talking in a boring way. You can't do that on this show, okay? Pep it up. Add some fluctuation. I don't want nerds talking to us on this show. This is an entertainment show, okay? Listen to Amy. The way she talks, that's good. Talk like her.
That's why I'm here, Animal, to rescue the show. But seriously, because I think what you're about to say is you're about to say, well, I've got this candidate who's interested in a particular company, so I'm going to call up this company and try to make that introduction and bridge that gap for the candidate. How is that not marketing a candidate?
Well, because I'm actually the first point of call is knowing someone in that company. I speak to that person in that company and ask for referral.
How do you get to know them?
How do you get to know them? I suppose that comes with years of doing what I do.
If somebody is starting out brand new? I'll use myself as an example. I've been a corporate recruiter now for a few years. I want to go back into agency, and I want to specifically recruit in academic app development, right? Very niche, right? What do I do? How do I start?
Well, I mean, I don't know that particular business, but...
any business. You pick one for me. Where should I go? What should I do?
Amy, don't attack this poor guy.
They're killing us on Twitter. Derek Zeller is a nice guy, and he put in capital letters. I don't know what he's on today. Very boring so far. It's not that boring. I've been doing most of the talking. You're insulting me, okay?
But it sounded like he was getting ready to explain how he markets an MPC, most placeable candidate.
But he said he didn't do that. So that's what
no,
I was trying to get
he calls the guy
if
that he knows at the
new,
company to bridge
how
the
do
gap.
You get to know the guy? This is what I'm trying to get to. We can all say, well, I've been doing this so long, I just do what I've done for 10 years. We can all say that, and that's great. But let's talk about how do you start. That's what I want to. I'll mute myself and let you answer.
I would have to know, are you working on your own or are you working as part of a larger firm? What I would say is it's disappointing to see people, young consultants going in, new consultants into a business and saying, okay, there you go. There is industry. Go and work that industry without any help with with their peers. Their peers should be able to give their contacts to that new consultant and be able to work into that actual industry. But I'm saying working in a new industry.
Because there's nothing I love better than giving my contacts to a newbie who's going to burn them. Here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying,
especially
Jim,
if I'm paying
and
the newbie.
Amy. Yeah, here's what he's saying. He says, if you want to do business with someone, don't start up a new firm and move into a new field on your own. Go through an existing company and then move away from them after you do exactly what you said. Find out all the contacts in the field and then go into your own business. Is that what you're telling us,
okay,
Mark Filshi?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes. I would say, I mean, there are times where a client that you might have known previously has moved on from example, a consultant has moved into the private equity field, and so they're a new contact there, and work that industry. Work through the contacts, go meet people, get involved in different events, different
Jerry,
social networking.
Jerry, do you understand what he's saying? Still
not
there?
Really. I'm just trying to be sensitive. I mean, this is a big-time international across-the-ocean call here. I'm just trying to
be
cool.
You said he was going to tell us something. You said he was going to tell us something. I don't get it. What is he saying? He's making an announcement. I'm not a salesman. And what I just heard, Jerry, something popped into my mind. 5 minutes ago, did you say you don't agree with what I said in the introduction?
Yes.
Why not?
You describe recruiting as just hundreds of phone calls facing rejection all day, all night. Dude, that's how it was. The Internet and Facebook solved all that, man.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
It's not Boiler Room anymore, Animal.
It's not Boiler Room.
Ever.
And I don't smoke two packs of cigarettes a day either.
People, when you go to LinkedIn, the source of all recruiting, when you go there and look up candidates, you don't have to wade through all kinds of stuff and make lots of calls. You just send an email and it's all
nobody's calling. Nobody's making 100 phone calls a day, man. Nobody.
Yeah.
Maybe frustrated
wrong.
People that want to tell you how much recruiting sucks. If you got to make 100 phone calls a day and you've been at this 4 or 5 years and you still have to do that, you've pissed off a lot of people. At some point, you become a networked-in guy, like our guy from Scotland and Spain here. You don't have to just keep pounding this to death.
Mark Fisher, are you on Jerry's side?
You get to be the guy people are calling.
How can you not be on my side? I speak the truth.
What I want him to say.
I don't think recruitment has to be that difficult, you know? I don't think it has to be pure, hardcore sales, phoning, you know, like I said, 50 candidates a day or whatever. I don't believe that's the way recruitment...
It's not like you're a coal miner and you got to strap on your big flashlight helmet and head down in and just chip away all day long with your little packed peanut butter sandwich in a brown bag and you get a 15-minute break. It's not like that anymore.
And if it was hard, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd go do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, Amy? It sounds to us, you're looking up new people all the time. You don't have a database of people you just know who you can just call up whenever you need someone. And Jim Durbin, who's on the line, was
Jim
on
Durbin.
A few months ago.
On the line.
Jim Durbin, he was telling us how he took these jobs from machinists. He never placed a machinist before. He didn't know anything about it. He had to start from scratch, and he had to scratch and claw his way to find talking to people all over the United States. Right?
Wasn't that bad.
But sure
I just
sounded
found people
like
in
it.
The industry and called them.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Animal, again, I'm telling you, I don't think that recruiting is for you.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to keep bringing that up, but, dude,
I'll tell you what happened. I listened to that Al Pacino speech on It Happens Every Sunday, and I tried to make something for us. You got to go inch by inch, and you got to look at the man next to you and say, is he going to sacrifice himself for the team? I tried to do something like that, okay? So, I mean, if it wasn't 100% realistic, give me some artistic license, okay? That's
all right, okay, all right.
Now, Mark Filshie says he works on strategy jobs, and I told him right away, as soon as I read that, I get people sometimes saying, we want someone who's strategic. I don't know what that means, and they don't want to tell me. So, Mark, can you tell us what this strategy stuff is?
Yeah, well, I mean, a strategist is someone that looks at the bigger picture. They look at a company where it is now, where it wants to be in the future, and how it gets there. So as an example, if you imagine a sales guy, selling electrical goods, for example, okay, that guy has got a monthly target, a quarterly target. He's there. He's all about the there and now. How do I make the targets? What do I do? How do we achieve that? You know, he's good at that, okay? He gets direction from his manager or the head of sales. Now, a strategist would come in and they would look at exactly where they should be, not in a month's time or a quarter's time, but looking at 3 years to 5 years' time, looking at...
Okay, let's move to a real... You're the only guy I've seen so far who actually posted some of his recent searches on his website and told how long it took to place them. You placed a head of strategy for a financial services company. In 4 weeks, you presented a short list. Within 8 weeks, there was a hire. How many people were on that short list?
Well, to go into more detail, there was 20 people on the long list. I sat down with one of the heads of strategy at the time there, different line, and we talked about how to make that a shorter list. So we took it down to 5 people. We approached the first 5 people. 3 of those were interested. 3 of those set up interviews, and one of those were hired within the 8 weeks.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that your client gave you the names of the people they wanted you to call?
Oh, no, sorry. No, I get the names first. I develop a long list. That was about 20 or 18 people.
A long list of how many people? How many on the long list?
There was 18 people on the long list.
18. Does anybody else find it odd that we live in this modern age and I have to strain to hear a phone call? I don't get it. It's killing me. You know, an hour of trying to hear what's going on, you feel tired after. It's you know, trust me, it's not the same as, like, just enjoying a conversation.
I'm always tired after the animal show.
Have you ever had to find a landline in Spain? Yes or no?
No.
Then let's move on.
Okay, so this guy's a head of strategy. Can you tell us you have a funny kind of manner of speaking. You hesitate. Don't hesitate. Just tell me, what does a head of strategy do? Is that everybody who's on the line, is that a legitimate question? Is that something you want to hear or on Twitter say, that's a boring question, I don't want to know? But I want to know, what does a head of strategy do?
Okay, well that particular person was head of strategy for the sales and marketing division of that company. So that person was responsible for looking at different sales channels, looking at the marketing process, and that person would work with the CEO to develop a strategy on how to effectively bring new products from the company into the market.
Yeah, I'll say myself, that was a boring question. What's a good question to ask him about this search, or should we just move on? What was the toughest thing about the search?
The toughest thing?
Was tough at all.
Not particularly, no. I mean, the toughest thing is coming down to the negotiations many times, because the person that actually took the job was earning a little bit more money in his current job, and he actually took a slight drop in salary to move into that position. So that was the negotiation on the salary was the hardest part of the job.
Did you have to talk him into it?
He was already kind of set on taking that move. He came from a management consulting background, working around about 60 hours a week, of traveling over 50% of his time. So there was it was rebalancing his work life. Work life.
Okay,
balance.
So there was a trade off. There was a worthwhile trade off. Okay, yeah, Mappy, so here's another search you did. Has anybody else ever had to talk someone into taking a lower salary, anyone who's on the line?
Never. I always get the companies to give a 20% bump, or I don't work with them.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yes.
Jimmy?
I've done it twice.
And was it just like with Mark Filshi here, you had, you know, the person was putting in tons of hours and traveling forever, and so even though he or she was going to take a lower salary, there was a real trade-off in time and stability.
Yeah.
Was it a situation like that?
Yeah, the first time it was a contract job, so I sold him on stability, being in a full-time job. And the second time was actually a referral from that guy, and I sold her on 5-minute commute and autonomy and, you know, blah, 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 and a bunch of other crap.
Okay, so there's always
some
clear.
Go ahead. What I run into more often is if you're placing someone who's not working and their previous salary was higher than the salary that they're going to be offered at your current place, that I run into, but rarely – someone leaving one job to work for less pay at the next. That just doesn't happen.
I've actually had to call up dozens of contractors and cut all of their pay twice for two huge companies.
Mm.
So keep your job or take a cut.
They were already employed. I mean, you were just doing a job, like, on, I guess, on an hourly rate there. Your commission
depends on it,
right?
They were our contractors, and we were told we were cutting our rates 5%, so I had to call up all of our contractors and negotiate how much of their rates were getting cut.
The contract companies or the independent contractors?
These were employees. These were W-2 contractors.
Because your bill rates had to go down 5%?
Yes. Yes.
And you guys were on that tight of a margin that you had to punch your employees in the face? You couldn't just give up some of your fat back?
Well,
bad call.
Then I had Bush and Pfizer, and we were talking about large amounts, and it was corrections in the economy, and it was occurring through all the companies in St. Louis.
Mm.
Good times.
Corrections in the economy.
Economic correction.
Well, they were double-digit increases for long periods of time. We also had to tell them they were only allowed to work for 5 years before they had to move to another job. Surprisingly, that's what they were most angry about.
Really?
Then I gave them a shirt with the logo.
Okay, so anybody on the line who wants to ask Mark a question, someone who's afraid to talk, not like Jim or, you know, natural performers like Jim and Amy and Jerry, anybody else who wants to speak up? I know there's smart people who don't speak up till they get on Jerry's show after this one. So
am I not allowed to ask a question? I mean, am I banned right now?
I'm just giving an opportunity for somebody else who, you know, is too polite to interrupt or just a bit shy.
We're in timeout.
We're waiting for you. This is your moment. Come forward. You're talking to a guy all the way in Scotland or Spain, wherever he is, okay?
Same thing.
Okay, nobody wants to say something. Does anybody else have a question? Or, Mark, let me ask you, am I asking you the really, you know, questions that will draw out what you have to tell other recruiters? Is there a message that you want to tell us that I'm missing?
I really don't know. The message, I mean, for me, anyone coming into this line of work, I would say, you know, it does take some hard work, but I think you've got to work smart in this business. I do think that networking is probably most of what I do in my job. It's 80% of my work is networking. It's not always about the hard sell or the calling 50 candidates a day. It's not all about that.
Does your accent cause a problem?
I think it helps.
It helps. Yeah, people do. As soon as I pick a phone up and speak to someone, they go, "Oh, hey, Mark." I don't even have to introduce myself many times.
Just send them the bill.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like it. Keep talking.
What does networking mean in your context? What is network? When you say I spend 80% of my time networking, what do you go to bars after work or call people, you know, when they're having their coffee and just, you know, shoot the breeze over the news? What's networking?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's really, I travel a lot for work, which I do love. I kind of try and do what my clients do. They travel a lot, I travel a lot, we meet up. Most of the time it's on the phone, on email, you know, through LinkedIn. Just seeing, you know, how things, just getting a bit of information on the market. There's always things happening on the market, so it's always good to speak to people. For example, there's a big takeover happening with one of the big management consulting firms called Booz & Company. PwC are buying them up. So the last sort of 3 months, I've been speaking nonstop to consultants about that kind of news, seeing what people are thinking on the ground. And, you know, it really is just simple as that.
Hold on a second. Let's pretend that Amy is, you know, somebody you know in the business, and you're going to call her up for a chat. And, yeah.
Okay.
Give her a call, okay?
Who
and
am
we'll
I?
See
what is my
like.
Role? Am I a consultant? A financial consultant?
Yeah, a consultant. Yeah, I speak to mainly consultants.
I can't even balance my own checkbook. This is going to be painful. Okay. Do we know each other already? Or no, because you don't cold call me, so we've met, right? Probably at a bar.
You guys have partied pretty hard, Amy, let's face it.
It's the accent, man. I'm helpless.
I mean, you're among friends. We all know what
Mike Stringer is really mad right now.
You know, Mike left me. He only snipes at me from Facebook, so
yep,
our relationship is on the skids.
Us all, too. Go ahead.
I'm a consultant. Okay.
So,
Mark,
so,
call her up.
Hello, Amy speaking.
Hey. Hey, Amy. How are you doing? It's Mark speaking. Mark Felshie. How are you?
Oh, Mark. How are you?
I'm
long
very
time.
Well, Amy. How are you? Yeah, long time. Just thought I'd give you a call just to see how things are going, where you're working at the moment. And, yeah, just wanted to catch up and see how things are.
Well, I've been in this contract role for about 6 months with PwC. You know, there's some rumblings. I don't really know what's going on or what's going to happen with that. So have you heard anything?
Oh, yeah. PwC, yeah, they're just buying out Booz & Company. It's a massive deal. And, yeah, we're speaking to a lot of guys in Booz. And so there's things happening internally and externally. Just wanted to find out
Well, I wonder if I should stick it out then. I mean, maybe this will open up some opportunities internally. Maybe I should just stick it out. Maybe I can go full-time with these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Did you hear what your partner,
Maybe he's talking to somebody else right now.
I don't know. I think I lost him.
I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Question. Do you place consultants or permanent employees? I mean, what's your...
Oh, that's
yeah.
what,
okay,
that's
well,
what Daryl Diocio, Doe Cisco wanted to know. Daryl Disco wanted to know, what is consultant? So go ahead.
Are you placing... Sure. Yeah, what's the deal?
A consultant in management consulting, 99% of the time, they are permanent employees. It's not a contractual. So guys are working in companies like McKinsey or Bain & Company, Boston Consulting Group, there's lots. They're all, 10 times out of 10, they are permanent consultants.
Okay, so
and
then
they're
you're...
any
you're,
kind of consultants?
Yeah.
They're, hold on, they're any kind of industry consultants or only for financial services industry, or is it a wide range of industries?
Wide range of industries, yeah. I mean, I specialize mainly in the energy and financial services, but I also do work in the retail, manufacturing, TMT. It's quite...
So, you know,
you
called yourself a niche player. You're kind of a niche player, but you're also a generalist. Daryl Disco was listening to the role play. He hates role plays. I like him. He said, and Amy did a great job. Okay, and he said, if I took this approach, my candidates would hang up on me and with regards to that role play. So is that what you really do all day, just call guys up and chat? And how does that lead to business? Another question. These are often big firms like, you know, Deloitte & Touche. I don't know if they have a consulting arm anymore, but Accenture. Do you place people and recruit people from within the same company? Do you recruit people from your clients?
No, never. There's, for example, the top three, there's McKinsey, BCG, and Bain. Now, I work with two of them. I'm not going to say who. And below that, there's another 20 other companies I work with. So of the big four, you're talking about Deloitte, KPMG, Ernst & Young, PwC. I only work with a couple of them. The other two I recruit from.
Those are your source companies. And is there enough source companies for you to get people from?
100%, yeah. There's more companies I recruit from than I recruit to. I have about 10 main clients, and I'm quite happy in the management consulting field. I'm quite happy at that. In the industry field, it's much more wider.
Move on. How do you make money out of calls like you just made to Amy?
I don't know. You really do find out. So, for example, I spoke to one of the guys I placed about 6 months ago. I spoke to him last week. I said, hey, you know, how's things going? He said, going well, business is well. So then we start talking about what's happening internally. And so from that one call, he said, right, okay, we're actually hiring a manager at the moment. So I spoke to his partner, got the details of that job, and working on that job right now. So that's how you need money from it, is finding what's happening internally.
These guys know when you call them, it looks like a nice, pleasant chit-chat, but really you're fishing around for business. Is that what's going on?
Pretty much. But at the same time, most of these guys are very happy to keep in contact because it's a long game. It's, you know, I'm not in this business for a couple of years. We're talking, I'm meeting these guys and being in contact with these guys for the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's a long, long game. I might have a poor year, but I know the next year I might, you know, double, triple the revenue that year just from these kinds of calls.
You know, I don't think this guy's got a sexy voice. I thought Amy really put it on. I never heard her purr like that, but I mean, like, his accent, you know, it's not doing anything for me. Okay, we're gonna go to some standard questions. Candidate feedback. You've got a candidate who's qualified, but based on a gut feel, your client wasn't impressed by the candidate's personality, and he's a strong believer that you have to like the people you work with. Now, the candidate wants feedback. What would you say?
Yeah. That's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, you just kind of say one of those, the taboo words, we'll use the culture word. You're not culturally right for that position. And, you know, that covers a multitude of sins.
So do you ever, I got to ask a question. I think this is an area where agency recruiters have a leg up, I really do, because I think that you can almost kind of take the candidate's side and be like, you know what, you're right, that guy's a jerk, you don't want to work there anyway, stupid company, because it's not your company. I mean, it's your client, you know, but you don't
But what
there,
I've learned, because I used to do, I used to occasionally get caught up in the, yeah, that place sucks anyway. Well, 2 weeks later, a different manager says, hey, I met that guy, and he fit right in over here. Be careful how you end it. And on the same side with the companies. You know, you don't want to say, yeah, you know, I found out some things about that candidate that really made me glad you didn't hire him. You just never know.
You know what?
So how do
we
avoid that pitfall?
Jerry, you want to finish off your little speech there?
I finished off.
Well,
okay,
maybe the guest has an answer.
No, Mark Filshi, that's all you say to the person, oh, it's a culture problem? I got to tell you, if someone said that to me, I would start feeling bad. I would feel like I didn't get an answer at all except to say you're no good.
That's what we all say. Stop making it seem like you're the one guy that comes clean about the whole thing.
We all say the same deal.
Man, it just wasn't a fit.
I don't believe in authenticity. But you know what? Here's what JT O'Donnell, I mean, we love her. She hasn't been on for a few years, but she's great. And she has an article, The Top 10 Things Recruiters Won't Tell You, But I Will. Number one, your clothes don't look any good. I never see people's clothes. I mean, but if they didn't look good, I would tell them. Mark, do you meet people who don't dress properly?
I personally I've never met someone who said that the clothes aren't right. I used to work with a French consultant who would always critique everything they wore, you know, down to the shoes, and the pants, and the, you know,
the tie, everything. She was you know, I used to sit and laugh there sometimes, you know, with her in some meetings. But I personally couldn't do that. I'm not the most fashionable of people, so I don't feel I have the right to say, maybe in some instances.
Uh-huh. So she says, recruiter won't tell you that your eye contact is weak. Do you meet people like, I don't know anybody who meets people anymore, but would you tell them?
I've never noticed that. I've never came across that. I've never had that problem.
What about, she says, limp handshake. Limp handshake. You must meet a lot of, you work worldwide. You must meet a lot of limp handshakes. Am I right or wrong?
I always recommend a strong handshake. That is something I have actually brought
isn't that culturally insensitive on your part?
It depends whereabouts in the world. You're going to have a handshake, but
isn't that Western chauvinism? Okay.
I don't think so. I think it's just a confidence thing, a strong handshake.
Okay. We got to move on. And you know what? I am playing you down a little because we can barely hear you. I'm trying to get you to give us short answers every now and then. Rebecca Sargent says you don't make money on unfillable orders. Tell your clients what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Will you tell the guys that their job descriptions and their, you know, salary demands are ridiculous?
Yes. But
tell us about
tell us about
a time.
Most of my clients have set salaries for each level they're coming in at. So the good thing that I have to deal with is I already prepare the candidate to say, okay, we're going in at manager level 3, which will pay around about £100,000 or $160,000. So that's already laid down already. From time to time, a new client will come along and I will just give them an industry example. What you're looking for, you're not looking... It's not right sometimes, you know. There's one client, an insurance client in Singapore, is paying about 20% less than the average.
Okay, now you've got a good relationship. Do they ever press back? How much do you have to fight? That's what I want to know. You know what? Move on from that question. You're calling people up still. You must call people up sometimes who don't know you or you haven't spoken to recently, calling candidates. How do you call them? What do you say?
It's just very simple. I just introduce myself.
And he cuts out. I think we lost the guy. Am I still on?
I'm here still.
I can hear him just fine, Animal.
You're all still here.
Okay, thanks.
It's pretty basic. It's the same way you would do it or Jerry would do it. It's exactly the same way. I introduce myself. I say, hey, look, I'm recruiting for this client. Are you interested? If they say no, I'll say, okay, that's fine. Listen, I'll drop you an email just to you know, say again, you know, if you want to get in contact at a later date, that's my details. I never push the candidates. If a candidate says no to me straight away, I send an email, move on. Simple as that. I don't waste much time.
Jim, are you still on the line? Jim Durbin? No,
he bailed, man.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, Jim's a seal. Yeah, fairly salesy guy. Would you ever tell people? Do you ever argue with them? Try to get them on to take a job for when they say no, they're not interested.
No, it's not going to work out well.
Animal, you have mastered the
badger somebody into submission
technique. rarely is,
so you're
but
not
very
selling
successful.
Them on a job at that point. You're selling them on a next step. That's the thing. You're getting ahead of yourself. You got a little premature action going on there, Animal.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Amy.
Step.
I don't like your innuendo, okay? But,
Animal,
but,
what are this
you
here?
Know, Steve Finkel used to come here all the time, and that was a big shtick with him, okay? If somebody says no, you know, that's the first step in a sale when someone says no, okay? So lots of people disagree with him. I just want to check that out.
Man, no, you're confused. Animal, see, you go from if somebody didn't want to take a job, would you keep trying to badger them, which, no, I wouldn't, to now you're saying Steve Finkel says no is the first step in any sale. usually it is. So if somebody says, no, I'm not,
yeah, I mean,
they say, okay,
is,
cool.
Are they saying no before they hear?
Yeah.
Do they know what they're saying no to?
Yeah, I guess
exactly.
They're listening to Mark Filci calls them about the job. He tells them, he says, are you interested? They say no. He says, okay, I'll send you an email just so you know who I am. Essentially, that's what he said, okay? So I was asking, he says he never tries to sell them on a job. So I just wanted to ask that. That's a legitimate question.
So is it that hold on. Is it that the job was wrong that he was calling about, or the guy doesn't want to hear about anything? Does he want a relationship? Or that's the question. And that solves your Steve Finkel baloney right there.
The one thing I failed to mention before is why we'll also ask is, so what are you interested in? Quite often I will say, okay, you don't want to move into another management consulting firm. What do you look? What are you looking for? You'll tell me, okay, I want to work in oil and gas in Indonesia. Okay, fine.
I'm glad we clarified that, because Animal would have left it with, you call the guy, he said no, and you say, okay, bye. That's what Animal is trying to make it seem
did. That is what Animal said.
What?
That's pretty well what he does. That's pretty well what he does, okay? But that's pretty well what he does. Okay.
It's what we all do.
God. When do you tell them the name of the company, Mark?
Usually quite soon. If they say yes, I would usually tell them because the market is fairly small, they usually have an idea of who I'm recruiting for anyway. And there are certain companies people will go to, certain companies they won't go to. If you talk about the top three companies, if you mention the names, then usually yes. I will usually say that very quickly in the first conversation. Well, if it depends. The first conversation is only a two-minute conversation and they can't speak, no. But if we have a conversation, we're talking for half an hour, I average calls about 30 minutes to 1 hour for each call, then that's when the conversation will lead on to who the client is.
Mm-hmm. And what if they say, Mark, what's the money? What do you say?
I'll tell them exactly what the money is, yeah.
Right off the bat.
Really?
Say,
yeah.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, I got this position going, and it's a consulting job in Abu Dhabi. They're looking for this and that. Any interest in something like that? How much? And you'll tell them, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'll tell them straight off. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. If I tell them, okay, the job is $200,000, he says, well, I'm making $250,000. So what's the point of continuing that conversation? I don't want to get down the road where that guy has spoken to three interviewers and then we're starting to get into conversation on money. That for me is just wasted a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of my time. What's the point?
Okay, but if you tell them the top end, so you're saying that your companies, your clients mainly have salary bands, it's a range,
yeah.
So you're telling him the top end. What if he goes in for an interview and they don't make him the offer at the top end? He already knows what it is. Is he going to get insulted and say no?
Quite often they will be, yeah. What I usually do is I will know from experience exactly where they'll be. I'll say they're going in at manager two or manager three. That's the two levels. This manager level three is $150,000. Manager level two is $120,000. So, you know, this is the range. This is what the most you can expect. This is the least you can expect. And I'll already have an idea exactly one of two bands where that candidate will fit in.
Okay. Now, I've read that somebody said on Twitter or somewhere, you can't inspire others if you're not inspired yourself. Do you want to excite people about a position, or is it just doesn't sound like you're calling them up excited to say, hey, this is a great job? You don't have to be inspired about the jobs that you're selling. Am I right about that? It's really just, you know, I got some information. You take it or leave it. That's what it sounds like to me. Am I right about that?
Not exactly, no. I'm inspired. I mean, a job is a job. But at the end of the day, what inspires me is, so this company's hiring. Why is that company hiring? Usually because they've got some interesting new work on, and they're on a growth pattern at that time, which quite often for candidates is something really exciting in my line of work. Whereas people are doing turnaround projects, it's quite different to doing growth projects. And a team is growing, and a team is expanding, and that person maybe got more opportunity to move up the ladder quite quickly. Most of my clients are in that stage at the moment. So I tend to work on jobs that do excite me. It's something I know that will excite the actual candidate.
So let's say you got a candidate. Sorry if I'm beating this to the bush, but let's say you got a candidate, and on paper, it looks like, you know, this is a pretty good job for him. He should seriously consider it. And so you call up and say, look, I got this company. It's got new clients. They're doing this. I looked at your background. This should be a really good next step for you. And the guy says, no, I'm not interested. You just say, okay? Or do you say, look, I want you to consider something?
If I know that person is really good for that job and I think it's a good move for him, I know I've already said I don't argue with the candidate, but in instances when I've got a really good feeling, I will say, look, what is the harm in speaking to the partner of that firm?
Hold on. Can I get some clarification here? I need some clarification, point of reference.
Yeah.
Animal, how do you know that this job is really good for this guy just because you've read his LinkedIn profile?
Yep.
What kind of assumptions are you making about people? You don't know this guy from Adam. You don't know his situation. You know nothing about this guy. And I'm sick of people thinking that they're going to call some candidate that they don't know with the perfect job for them. You don't know. I stopped.
Diddly squats. You don't know nothing.
This job's perfect for you. Oh, really?
You know what? I got to tell you, right, I don't know anything, especially being a generalist. I don't know anything because I don't work in that. This guy insisted. He's a niche player. He knows the market very well. He spends 80% of his time just talking to people in the business. If he looks at someone's resume, he should have the brains to figure out, I can't understand it.
Nope.
This looks like a fantastic move for you.
No, you are so wrong. No.
Wrong.
You only know that after you've talked to a guy a time or two, and you've talked about where they are and what direction they're going, and you know, is their wife, you know, all that stuff.
Exactly.
If you work in a field a lot, you can say, look, hey, am I missing something? Just look at the money. Look at the company. Look at the opportunity to develop new skills. You're going to do this and that.
That everybody is on a linear point A to point Z career path. This is almost one of the most absurd positions you've taken in the history of this show.
It's pretty bad.
I don't think
it's awful. Dude, you're losing credibility, man. You can almost hear it.
Job looks to professionally fit where you are. Let's talk about what else you're looking for in your next career move and see if we have that too.
Yeah.
Rebecca Sargent, are you on the show? Rebecca, are you on the call now? She says she's jumping on. I don't know if that means she's listening or I guess she's not answering me, so I guess she's not. I'm asking Rebecca's question some of them now, you know, but she wasn't here to hear them, I guess.
These candidates, one of the worst things that they despise is another recruiter called me and told me they had the perfect job for me.
That's
what you do in your first 2 months. You got this stack of names, and here's this job, and it pays $100,000.
Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. You're making a straw man so you can say, oh,
no,
you're
not.
Wrong. That's not what
I'm
saying.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm with Jerry. Uh-huh. I'm with Jerry.
Once again, your crowd is with me,
dude.
This
is perfect for me crap. I hate that.
We're
I hate
just
it
building
when
steam
people
for
call
the
me
animal
too.
Show after show, man. It's going to be
hot. Hey there.
Yes.
It's Mark Filshi.
Hey, Rebecca Sargent says that she's here.
Do you have any questions for Mark Filshi? You don't know what we're talking about, do you, Rebecca? I can't hear Rebecca.
It's a 908
I didn't open her line. I didn't open her line.
Dude, you
rattled
yourself.
Oh, there's 509 as well. Oh, I haven't been checking. Here's Rebecca.
There you go. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Rebecca.
Everybody.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Rebecca.
Good. So this is an interesting conversation.
I read your these are the 10 things that so-and-so would say, some TV character I'm not familiar with. So I picked some questions out of there, but I've asked them already. So,
okay.
Do you have a question? Did you hear anything about this guy? Do you have a question you'd like to ask him or challenge him on anything he said?
Right now, no. I'm going to just sit back and listen for
okay.
a few more minutes.
You'll wait. You'll listen for. You'll listen.
Oh, really
you'll listen for
blocker. Blocker line.
No, wait, no, no. What she, here's what she's going to do. Here's what she's going to do. She's going to listen for 5 minutes. Then it goes to the after show, and she'll trash me. Okay.
Yeah.
I won't trash you. I would never trash
what's
you. You know
happen.
That.
Okay. Do you leave voicemail,
I'll trash
Mark
you.
Bilshi? Mark. Mark. Yes. Do you leave voicemail?
Do I leave voicemail? I have to. Yes.
For who? Just random voicemail animal? I mean, what's the question? Every one of us leaves voicemail.
No,
what's the message?
Don't leave voicemail. They don't believe in it. Some people
you
don't
mean like
it's
to somebody that you know?
I know someone.
You're
I leave voicemail.
Oh, God. You're calling somebody
he
up. You haven't
to
talked to them
knows.
For...
We covered that.
No, no. He's calling
but,
up candidates.
We already covered
that. You know what? We didn't. But I'll move on, okay? I'll move on. Okay. Really, I'm getting tired. How do you get referrals? Mark, do you get referrals?
Yes.
Mark.
I get lots of referrals, yes, yes.
How?
Not the last job I placed, the job before that, it was actually for a very senior person in a management consulting firm. I had known this person for 3 years. She was present for the position. She said, Mark, no, I'm moving back to the States, but I've got a person in Hong Kong who is keen on looking at other positions. She gave me his name, his number, and we've done an email.
So you're like Eddie Murphy and Raw. They just throw it at you, right?
Honestly, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like it's a little bit unbelievable sometimes. But that's, I think when you get to a stage in your career, it does become that easy. I used to work with a
what
guy
what about when
who,
you started? Let's go, there's 5 minutes left,
yes,
4 minutes left.
Yes.
I'm just curious, because, right, you know what? The way you describe it to us, you just pick up the phone and call people, and they give you job orders. Then you call, you know, 5 people or 18 people, and you got 3 candidates, and then half
yes.
those people throw a bunch of referrals at you. Your job is
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
dude.
It's a cinch.
Now you're getting
about,
it, man. You're there.
When,
welcome
what
welcome
about,
home, animal.
What about when you started? What about when you started?
Yeah.
Did you,
that's 10
did you
years
have
of
any
hell,
work?
Man.
Did you actually have to work then?
I did, and that was pretty horrible, animal. And so that wasn't really addressing the newbies. You know, that is quite different. When I first came into recruitment, I was on the phone, you know, 8 hours a day. You know, it's constant. Let me
add something though.
Here,
okay, everybody. Those of us that started 10 or 20 years ago, there was no alternative. You were going to call all these people all day long.
Yep.
That's not how it is today, and that's not how you start. That's not the job. It's not the work. It's not the career, man. It's not happening.
We didn't have the internet when we started.
You know what? I got to tell you something. This show,
so, Jerry,
I've been
what
many
was your
times,
voice there? If you don't, I just want to clarify.
Yeah, hold on, Amy. He's going to tell you for a half an hour after, unless he's got other things to do, like mow the lawn or shovel the snow. But here's the thing. This show is like a psychiatrist, session. The people
for
come
you.
In and talk about. They talk about nonsense for the first 50 minutes. We're down to the last 5, and all of a sudden, it was terrible. The truth comes out, right? This is my problem. But they do it at the last 10 minutes. You don't have any time to talk to them about it. Oh, it was grueling. I couldn't stand it. I didn't know how
well,
I
you
made
wanna
it
know
through
why
those
you start
years.
To hear the truth at the end of the show? Because they know that they're going to a show where there's a spirit of openness, a big tent. We respect everybody's idea. Everybody
so
gets to talk
even,
as long
the
as they want.
Isn't even there. The guest isn't even there, Jerry.
Yes.
You're so
get out.
To lunch.
So long. Amstray. Do they speak Pig Latin over there? Amstray.
Mark Vilshi, I got to tell you, I know I would have had a better conversation with you if you would have been on a decent phone. But you know what?
Okay.
I actually had a different guest scheduled, and this guy, Mark Vilshi, who doesn't know me at all, just jumped in to take the position. And I
appreciate
that very much.
That.
He's a friend of the
Thanks,
show now, even though he called on a crappy line. Is there any parting words you'd like, something you'd like to say that you think I missed, or advice to recruiters that you think you've got to share that you didn't tell us already?
And feel free to use my name with that accent. Amy, go ahead.
Amy, I the only the only advice I would give to anyone coming into the industry is it does get easier. It's not always that hard. Recruitment becomes easier as time goes by. And once you're in the game for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it opens up. And you
sounds like prison. You get used to it after a while. But that's going to be my question. There's the question. You told me, Mark, you revealed something to me. That's the question I have to ask in the future. What was it like for you when you came into the business? That's something I'm going to make a regular question on the show.
Yeah.
Mark Vilshi, Strategy Talent, nice to meet you. Thank you.
Oh my.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I think the issue isn't so much Mark Vilshi. Nice guy. He's doing his thing over there. I think it's Animal. Animal needs an intervention. I believe he still thinks that this job is 1992.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't understand it. But good guy.
Pretty much does
business the way I do it. You know, I'm just connecting people, knowing people. Somebody isn't into it, you just let it ride. You know, I mean, what's the deal?
Exactly. It's not that difficult.
You're supposed to get out of here.
This is where we talk about you.
This is when we talk about you. And to be fair to our guest, to give an accurate feedback, we decided a long time ago that if the guest stays, then people are less free to offer open feedback about you.
But you can call me later if you want.
But you can call Amy all the time. Do you ever info? I'll recruit her. That's her on tweet deck.
I'll recruit her.
I'm going to go follow you, but not in a stalker way.
She's a big-time recruiter at Microsoft.
Kind of a big deal.
Now, you do recognize that there are some pretty famous people on this show, though, right?
Yeah.
It's been an honor for you.
It has been. I was terrified at first. I only listened up in the last 10 minutes. I was so terrified before, I think. Didn't know quite what to expect, but... it was good, I think. I was a bit boring.
Yeah, the second time is always better once you know the territory, you know. So thanks for calling in, man, and enjoy yourself. Take care over there.
Okay, cheers, Jerry. Take care. Right. Bye, Amy.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I feel bad having to kick some of these guests out. They don't know. I feel bad.
I send them the instructions. I don't know why they don't know.
We were just getting momentum there. What?
1 second. Hey, I got to take another call. I'll be back in just a minute. I'll mute myself.
Okay. Hey, what's going on, Jim?
Okay, explain this to me. Was there a memo that went out? I felt like I was in Bizarro World there for a while.
Well, you
it
know,
it took
the,
me a while to get the flavor.
Those guys from the UK, I just get a sense of, you know, just being respectful of each other.
I just kind of felt he was a really pretty girl. That's why Animal was treating him.
Yeah, interesting show. I don't know really what he was saying. You know, he recruits consultants
like
for PwC or something.
Yeah.
So in general, yeah, it was all right.
If you spent 15 years working, it's a different world. Yeah, I think that's what he was saying.
Yep. Hey, is anybody else on the line, or is it just us two? I know Animal's somewhere down the hallway. I thought you left.
Hey, this is Rob Dromgoole. I don't know, did I pass Animal's queue?
Yeah, who's this?
Rob Dromgoole.
Hey!
Hey!
Dude, we don't actually hear your voice much.
Well, no, well, you know what? I tried actually. I wasn't sure I had to like add an animal like press accept or something. I was trying to call in on that whole cold call fiasco.
What did you want to say? You're on with the real people now. What did you want to say about it?
You know, when I reach out to people, you know, I won't necessarily approach them about a perfect role, but my role is to facilitate those meetings with those hiring managers and the candidates. And I might not necessarily know if the role is perfect for them, but I think by a LinkedIn profile, you can make a pretty good educated guess on whether or not it might actually be worth someone's time. Right, if you could just set up that 30-minute conversation with that client and that candidate, you know, a worst-case scenario for them is at least a networking opportunity, even if or a collaboration opportunity.
Yeah.
If I can get that candidate on the phone with that hiring manager, and we're talking about the opportunity to have impact, make a difference, do some interesting things, that's the next step, right?
Well, but your crowd is the scientific community, right?
Yeah, and, but it's
and so
there's,
well,
it's no different than a sales role or anything. I mean,
I don't know if everybody necessarily wants to make a big impact, or you know, some people just want to just do an honest day's work and go home. I don't think that we know enough about somebody just from checking out their profile one time to call somebody convinced that we have the right job for them.
Well,
this is more about family.
I would normally do a search really targeted, right? You're building an NFL draft board in a way, right? Because when you're looking at for a specific role for something, you're not just randomly calling people. You know, you're sitting down with a client and you're whittling down a list of maybe 80 names down to like 10. I might only make 10 phone calls in some searches, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a $200,000 plus placement I made. I only called 10 people. Of those 10 people, 6 became interested, and we flew 4 out for a face-to-face interview.
Well, you've got some cool jobs.
Well, true, but the people who I'm calling, based off of their background and the research we do, we know they're a fit for them. Okay, they have a PhD in this. They've been a manager of managers.
And they've done, like, papers and stuff on particular subjects, and right?
Yeah, but oftentimes the leadership roles aren't scientist or research roles. They're actually just enabling that to happen. It's still a manager or executive. It's just,
hey, I've got a side
quest. They doing operations for a bunch of engineers.
Did I read an article where you guys have devised a way to turn seaweed into diesel fuel?
Yeah, that's true.
And like you cut the timeline and like down to like
5% in an hour. Yeah,
where it used to take like weeks. So what's the story on that? Is it real?
You're talking to the wrong guy, man. I'm a freaking headhunter.
Yeah, but
you know
read
what?
About
I will
it.
Email you the link.
Yeah, it sounded interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I placed the gal that heads up that biomass unit probably about 4 years ago. Cold called her. She was CEO of a company in Denmark, and she was a tenured professor, and I cold called her in Denmark, and it took her like a year to move out here. But that was an interesting search. That was a number of years ago. But
love it. See, that's
I had a guy take a $100,000 pay cut like 2 weeks ago in base salary. You know, and it's never usually about the money in my experience. I honestly find that people get fired up. Because at least with us headhunters, right, we're not working on lots of jobs. You know, for the really hard-to-fill jobs, we might only have, I don't know, 5-10 of those. Mm. And those are, even though there's, 260 million people on LinkedIn, we're only looking at so few. It's a sniper approach, right?
Yeah.
And then in those, it's a different type of sale. You know, so you're actually, maybe you're selling, I mean, if you're looking for a salesperson, I mean, most of the roles that they're calling us to pay retained fees on, they're not contingency searches, right? I mean, if you're looking for a Java developer, go pay some guy 15%, I guess. I don't.
25.
You know, why would they be working? Well, why would they be working
with 15%?
I don't know.
That's how
out
of touch you
are.
I
don't hire Java developers, right? I mean, it seems to me an entry-level role, if you just post an entry-level role, right, you just have a bunch of people. It's a different process, right? You're just using a filtering system, and
yeah. I really do like hearing about all the different ways that we're all fitting into this recruiting world. I think it really is cool.
Well, it's sales.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, even if it's a biomass or a physics role or, even an entry, I hired some entry-level electrical engineer from Florida who's moving out. I mean, it's not, she made $70K. It's not a mind-blowing thing.
Why would you go all the way to Florida to hire an electrical engineer?
She applied.
And she was into it and wants to move there.
I didn't headhunt her or anything. I mean,
right.
She showed up to the ATS, but there's still deal closing involved. And,
yeah. That sounds cool.
I don't know. I just got frustrated with that, the guest, because it just seemed like, oh, you're not interested in $200K? Okay, have a good life. And I'm like, what? The money never comes up for me that early. If I told them how much my position's paid, I would never place anybody.
Yeah,
almost
that's
every
true.
Almost every position I place, everyone has to take a step back and comp.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but it's...
That'd be tough.
Not really. There's people out there who, who've made lots of money and they want a quality of life and they just are interested in doing some kind of work.
Yeah, right. See, that's in my crowd... I'm still recruiting the people who have they're still chasing their bigger TV and just all the crap, and they're spending every dime that they earn, $70,000 a year, whatever. They're expecting 75 or 77. It's just not going to happen that I'm going to get them an offer that they'll accept at less than they're making. Ever.
But still, I imagine.
So it's just
your
a different world,
But your clients can probably pay that, right?
Yeah.
So if they can offer, a 10-15% bump and it's doing the same work, that seems to me like that would be a decent, hey, how would you like to earn 15% more money for doing the same work that you're doing today? Oh, why don't you tell me a little bit more about that?
you would think that, but then you get people who are only interested in a raise, if that's your first selling feature about it.
Well, that's what I mean. That would seem to me, I doubt that you can just call someone up about the money. It's just like, hey, I see you're on LinkedIn. I don't know, you're selling blenders.
Right.
How do you like that opportunity? What do you like?
I know, man.
Selling blenders is great.
Well, animals got it all figured out, so.
But it's sales, right? But I still don't understand how someone could be successful in our business without calling people, even today.
You might be surprised.
Are there actual people making? Are they actually earning money out there not calling people?
They're struggling. They're all struggling because they're, it comes down to the candidates are getting pummeled with the emails. The recruiters who pick up the phone, of course, are, ahead of 90% of the industry. We had a guy who came into one of our classes just 2 weeks ago, and he lived and died by sending emails. He made 12 placements last year and then hit a rough patch, and that's how he ended up in our class.
Yeah.
Excuse me. In the last 2 weeks, he graduated the class two Fridays ago.
Already made 9 placements?
No, he's got 12 interviews.
That's
scheduled
cool.
Over the next 2 weeks. And the only difference, really, at the end of the day was pick up the phone. Pick up the phone.
Wow.
Yeah, pick up the phone's a great mantra. But if you don't have everybody's phone number, you're not calling anybody.
If you can't get the company phone number, you shouldn't be in this business.
Yeah.
People don't answer their company phone.
I visit a lot of customers. Every company that I recruit for, I go spend some time there. I start off by showing about 10, 15 minutes early and just hang out in the lobby. Those people are cutting people off. They're not getting through. You can't just dial somebody up and they answer the phone much anymore.
Well,
it is 90% of the time.
I actually, my heart skips a beat when I call a manager that I know is a personal friend and they pick up the phone.
I'm like, oh, my
well,
God.
Hold on, man. I wasn't ready for you to wait, give me a second,
right.
You know. Like, seriously.
Well, so there are challenges. I mean, if you're going to call
If I'm not scheduling things, people aren't picking up the phone unless I call their cells. And
well,
then
are
they
you getting
pick
their
up
cell
they know me. Well,
Rebecca, all I'm saying is
out there are giving out cell numbers.
Where is
the managers do they don't answer their work phones anymore, they answer the cell phones.
Where today is the new recruiter or the person who's really wanting to pick up their game? Where are they going to get this list of 100 people to call today?
Yeah, well,
I'm just asking. I'm not against calling the numbers. Throw them on my desk. I'll call anybody.
You know,
all day long.
You know,
I mean, I will show you how it's done.
This is why they hate
it. You get the numbers from
everywhere.
You can get them anywhere. Jerry, that's a fallacy that
you
can't
do. That's what sources do, right? I mean,
if you think that the same...
There's one called Sales Focus. I can give you 30 companies that will give you direct dial numbers of all these places, not to mention every old recruiter turned around and sold their database. Of course they don't answer.
So you can dial, put you through, you get
voicemail. I mean, you can.
Right. But people aren't picking up their phone.
Are picking up their phone. You know, I hate to say this, but 2 weeks ago I got on the phone with a recruiter. Not only did I find a hiring manager who gave us three names of candidates he wanted to interview that was good for our job order, but in the next 15 minutes, we got one of those three on the phone. And
what kind of job order?
Bridge engineer, a civil engineer for bridges.
Hmm.
So it can be done. It's when you're doing it. And it's how you get through to the person on the other end of the
All
phone.
All I am saying is it is not the same call 100 people a day world as it was 20 years ago.
No, nowhere close.
No. You know, not calling 100 people, but having
and
a targeted list.
There are other ways to reach people, and it's a combination of all of that.
Yeah, but just
no, that's true to some point. But at the end of the day, you know, like the 10 people I called in my recent senior search. I mean, none of them answered the phone. It's all a voicemail, and they reach back.
Yeah, but you're a corporate guy. You're the man. You're the dude. We're just the scumbag recruiter number 17 for the day, and so they don't want that either.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. It's tricky.
It's very tricky right now.
Yeah, but, you know, you would just call again and again and again, right? I mean, you
I can't tell if you're if you're just having fun playing opposite day.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
have you been taken over by a pod?
No, the days of 100 phone call days are over.
How do you train if you're not doing 100 phone calls?
Dude.
What are your recruiters doing if they're not?
I don't have 100 people to call, so I haven't seen
it. It might be 100 phone calls to the same five phone numbers.
I trained some of these recruiting folks, and they're still making their 100 calls. And the stuff I train them on is I say, spend 15 minutes or half an hour a day doing this stuff. Not do it 5 or 10 minutes before every call. I mean, you still have to pick up the phone and dial to get into a rhythm. Are you guys really saying don't make the phone calls?
Stop right there. I've never said that. I'm just saying that the days of all you've got is this list of these people you're going to call all day. That's you're high if you think that's what this job is now.
If you don't have a list, it's poor planning.
Well, sure, you make things warm calls if you're selling, but if you're a recruiter, you just pick up the phone and you call.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, often I think today, I mean, with the scarcity of talent, there's generally not 100 people that you can call. I mean, at least for me,
there's a scarcity.
There might only be like 10.
Unless you're Rob.
I've rarely had 100 people that I could call for anything.
But back in the day, dude, that is what you had. You had 100 different phone numbers that you were going to call.
Well,
at least I did.
Back in the day, I would have, like, the list of the Motorola handset development, and I would freaking be dialing the,
I'm just saying you don't have that.
510-438, and I would just go through the 1001 to...
Yeah, I know.
299.
No, you do have the list. That's the whole point of marketing in the last 30 years is to build a list of these people and their phone numbers.
Yeah, they're just easy to find.
The warm
right?
part
so
is getting
you're...
them to answer you in some way, to figure out how to get them to pick up the phone or contact you.
Right.
That's
why we don't have
to
call
100
people, right? We only have to call, like, 20. It's not that hard. I mean, finding people is easy.
All right, everybody.
I'm lost. I'm lost. I really feel like I've stepped into an alternate universe here. It's still Wednesday, right?
Yeah, but what is it that you think I'm saying?
It sounds like you're saying the exact opposite of everything you said before. We shouldn't make phone calls, and you guys don't get involved in it. You only make a couple calls a day. You should send emails out to people.
No, I think
you're
saying it's
evolved. I thought you were making fun of the Scottish
Wow. No,
you're saying the industry's evolved, right? I mean, it's
Far beyond what a lot of this training mantra still seems to be. And, Rebecca, I'm not saying I follow all these different, you know, here's what you got to do kind of things. It is not the same. It's just not the same as it was.
It's not the same of picking
Simply
up
not.
Pitching.
And
pitching.
These people are not answering the phone. So what are you going to do? Are you telling me don't send that guy an email?
I don't ever send an email.
To be fair, I will usually leave a voicemail and send an email at the same time. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Just checking. So, Rebecca, you don't send an email?
No. I leave a very casual voicemail if I have to, and I get calls back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, again,
don't send an email.
I'm pretty aggressive. Jerry, I'm pretty aggressive about getting people on the phone. So, you know, if I hit somebody's voicemail, I'll zero out and go back to the front receptionist. I will ask if that person's in the office. And, you know, again, it's how aggressive are you going to be about finding that person? You know, when I'm headhunting a recruiter, did it yesterday, guy was out sick. Great, I'll call back tomorrow morning. You know,
yeah, but recruiters, they answer the phone. Their phone number's everywhere. They hope that the phone's ringing. They answer other people's phones. You know what I mean?
The
phone's ringing.
You're doing the same thing with the engineers. It's not just recruiters. Is if you are making it urgent enough for somebody to pick up the phone, call the front receptionist and go, "Where is he?"
You know, good luck with that. But as I was saying earlier, I'm in the lobbies of these places. The phone is blasting off the hook. This lady does not, or a guy, don't want to be sexist there, that person, they're not going to drop what they're doing to track that person down for you. Your option is either leave a message or call back. 9 times out of 10. No, 90 out of 100. That is 9 out of 10, though.
That's
not what I'm running into.
Well, anybody could get a recruiter on the phone. I mean, how hard is that?
No, I can get bridge engineers on the phone. I can get owners on the phone. You can get anybody on the phone. First of all, it's when are you calling? Are you calling before and after business hours?
Right.
Are you calling at, you know, certain times of the day when
I'm
everybody is by their phone? Right? Now, the guy who calls me and says, I'm making 100 dials today, I have no use for him. I have a use for the guy who said I had 20 connects today and 20 conversations. That's the guy I want to talk to.
And that's even a hard number to – that's
20
a hard,
connects is a full day's work.
That's
exactly.
But 100 dials is not a full day's work.
I can click out 100 dials in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, that's not working. But getting somebody on the phone.
Well, okay, maybe I'm corporate America. I get drive-bys and emails. And 20 connects in a day is a full day's recruiting.
Yep, it is.
For me. I mean, I'll say that's like a whole day.
And so, Rob, you've got
a full day.
Yeah, I mean, part of your day is like this lady from Florida. I mean, you get a resume and you've got to – I mean, she's going to take your call.
Hey, believe me, I don't have to head on everything. I mean,
I know. So there's plenty of that, yeah.
I mean, I got the freaking admin jobs I got to fill cut offers for, too. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know.
All right, everybody.
The fun ones come up.
Believe it or not, I have a guy who's expecting my call. So I'm not afraid of any rejection. So I'm going to be calling him. I got to go. But, yeah, it was a great show. Great after show.
Yep.
Yeah, great show. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Keep rocking. Yeah, thanks for calling in, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.